This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org.
Have you ever exchanged your glory for something that does not profit? You say, "What on earth are you talking about?" Well, I'm using Bible language to ask you, my friend, if you're living up to your full potential, if you're really all that you ought to be. And you'll say to me, "I've tried and I just can't make it." I'll tell you what, we can change that through the work of God. Let me ask you a question. You know, just friend to friend, just as if we were sitting at the table having a cup of tea together and being really honest with each other. Now, I mean gut level honest with each other. No masks, just loving, trusting, and caring about each other. Feeling safe and secure with each other so that we can answer exactly what the problem or the situation is. Do you ever feel like a failure? Do you ever get mad at yourself? Do you ever want to kick yourself around the block because you didn't do it right? You didn't make the right decision? Have you ever chosen to believe what other people might say about you instead of the truth of who you are and who God created you to be? Have you ever wanted to change your personality? Wanted to be more like someone else? More relaxed, more comfortable in your own skin? Have you ever wanted to be more outgoing, more funny, or maybe you wanted to be less outspoken or less driven at work? Or maybe you wanted to be just the opposite and to be able to stand up for yourself. You know, I think that if I could just be like so-and-so, if I could just do that, then what's the problem? You got it. We're not satisfied with ourselves. We are not satisfied with who we are. We're not satisfied with who God has created us to be. And as I was talking to the Lord about all this during my quiet time this morning, one of the things that He showed me was, just focus on satisfying me. Focus on bringing me glory. Focus on giving a true estimate of who I am. And as you focus on that, know this, that you are a work in progress. We are a work in progress. I'm 75 years old, and here I am. The Bible says 70 years is the average lifespan. So God's been very gracious to me. He's allowed me to live to see not only my grandchildren grow up, but now I'm loving and playing with my great-grandchildren. I'm able to speak into their lives about the love of God and of His majesty and of the beauty that surrounds them. I'm very active, both mentally and physically. I look around and see others of my age, and I wonder, why, God, have you been so gracious and loving to allow me to continue to write, teach, and be active and enjoy life to its fullest? I think, why? Now, I'm definitely not complaining, but just asking. Well, I know that it's because He's not done with me yet, and He's not done with you either. God has more work for me to do. He has more work to do in me and through me. He's molding me and shaping me into someone that is glorifying Him, something that is going to give those around me and the world a picture of who God is through my life. He gave me this verse that I want to share with you. It's found in John 17, and we call it the High Priestly Prayer. Now, remember that context rules. Yeshua is on His way to the Garden of Gethsemane. This evening is going to be the turning point in His life. He is going to be arrested, bound, and taken to Annas, the father-in-law of the high priest Caiaphas. Then He's going to be taken to the palace of Caiaphas himself, where the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish court and lawmaking body, was waiting for Him. He's going to be found guilty by the Sanhedrin and then taken to Pontius Pilate. He is judged, and He's going to be crucified. Yeshua, or Jesus, could have put an end to His arrest, His trial, or his execution at any time. He's going to pay the price for man's sin, for my sin and your sin. And he's talking to his Father. In the 7th verse of chapter 17, he says to his Father, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. What would be our desire? Our desire should be to glorify God on earth. If we please God, but don't please anyone else, it's okay. As long as we know, God, I am pleasing you. You remember that Rabbi Shaul, or Paul, had a difficult time with a lot of believers regarding this. Our desire should be to glorify God on earth. That's what our desire should be. And if we don't please everyone, as long as we know, again, God, I am pleasing you. Now, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 9, that Paul was bearing his soul. And we see that he had fears within. I mean, he went through turmoil. But what he said was this, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. Rabbi Shaul is telling us that whether in this body or out of this body, our ambition is to be pleasing to Him, to be pleasing to the Lord. To be pleasing to Him is to glorify Him. To please Him is to give a correct estimate of who He is by the way that we live. And I just want you to know that I shed tears from just talking about it. What you and I want, beloved, is to be what God wants us to be. And it is a battle. Now, why is it a battle? And why is it a battle that is what I want us to look at today? Well, this is, again, what I want us to look at. I want us to run some scriptures and to show you why we have such a hard time glorifying God and how that can be made easier and how that can be even possible. So that when you and I come to the end of our lives, we can say, I have glorified God. I have glorified you on earth. I have given a correct opinion, a correct estimate of you. So, what's the problem? Why is it a battle? Let's discover why. What did God intend? And then how did it get so messed up? And I want us to go to Bereshit, or Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to put scriptures together that will show us what God intended for us, what got messed up, and then what are we to do about it. So, if you are able, simply open your Bible to Bereshit or Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let us, I love that plural pronoun, let us make man in our image. Then the verse goes on to say, let them. Did you notice? Let us make and let them. So we want to ask the question, why man and them? God gave them a task, a job. They were to rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, which included everything that crept on the earth. Again, we see the term them used. They were to rule. Then in the next verse, verse 27, we read, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created man. Now listen, in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. And then again, we read the pronoun them. God made man originally in his image, so that if we could see man, we would see God. And if we looked at man and saw God, then man was giving an accurate opinion, a true estimate of who God is. And that's what it means to glorify God. To glorify God is to live in such a way that others see God in you. And then they say, oh, if that's what you're like, well, then that's what God is like. If they saw God, and no man has ever seen God, but if they saw God, and then they saw you, they would say, oh, you're the same. It's in His image. You are His image. And so, when He creates man, you have to know that He created us perfectly. I mean, there was no sin in the world until chapter 3, when the serpent comes into the garden and says to Eve, the woman that God created, has God said? And so, immediately the serpent casts doubt on the veracity of God's word. He nullifies his punishment. He says in Bereshit, or Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, the serpent said to the woman, surely you will not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And HaSatan, Satan, has contradicted God. Satan uses the same strategies today. He brings a question to our mind. He causes doubt to come in. Did God really say that? Is that what the word really says? And then he tells us, in essence, the very same thing that we tell ourselves today. He casts doubt on what did God really say, and did he really mean that? And are you sure that's true? Oh, God is a God of love. He would never send any man to hell. Oh, God's a God of love. He would never bring any judgment, or he'd never bring a calamity. God's a God of love. All I have to do is say, I'm sorry, and the Bible tells me that he will forgive me. People tell themselves that I can do this or I can do that, because I know that God is a God of love, and He will forgive me. And then they continue to do the same thing over and over again. People tell themselves, well, now that's my kind of king. That's my kind of God. I can do whatever I want, and all I have to do is say, I'm sorry, and He will forgive me. Well, He is a God of love, and 1 John 4:8 tells us that. And that's absolutely a true statement. But God is also a righteous and holy and just. And so God has to judge sin. Well, you disobey God, and then something happens. And we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that the author addresses this. The verse says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all have sinned. Because Eve took the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, she ate it. She gave it to Adam, and Adam ate it by one man. Remember, Romans 5:12 tells us that sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And this all came through from one man. If I become a sinner, I am not glorifying God. And I'm not glorifying God because I'm not giving a true opinion, a true estimate of who God is. I'm not walking in complete dependence on Him. John chapter 14, verse 8, we find that Philip was talking to Yeshua. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Yeshua said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Why? Because Yeshua glorified God on earth. Yeshua gave a true and correct opinion and estimate of who God was. We might say, you know, that's my problem. I'm a sinner, and that's my problem, and that's why I'm not perfect. And you're absolutely right. But I want to tell you something. God does not leave us hanging there. God does not leave us in a state of death. Let me tell you the good news. And I have good news for you and good news for me. We have good news for the world. Yes, we are all sinners. And yes, because of sin, death has entered into the world and death has been passed upon all men. But again, God does not want to leave us there. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? God made provision for you and me to be what He intended us to be in the beginning. Now, you might say, Carol, you don't know where I've been. Carol, you don't know what I've done. Well, let me tell you. Maybe you don't know what I have done. Maybe you don't know where I've been. And maybe you don't know about my strong personality. I'll tell you, I'll match my strong personality right along with yours. We say that and it's true. But you know what? God is God. And we are told in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, that nothing is impossible for Him. He has a plan and a purpose for our lives so that we can glorify Him. I want to tell you before I show you that. I want to tell you how much I appreciate you. I want to tell you how much I love you. And it isn't some soupy, sappy kind of thing. You may say, you don't even know me. Well, you know what? I don't, unless you communicate with me. And how do you communicate with me? Well, you can contact me at sectimres@yahoo.com. That's all one word. Again, sectimres@yahoo.com. And when you do communicate with me, we are here for a relationship. We want you to discover the truth of God's Word for yourself. We want you to be able to dig deeper into the Word of God and to discover truth for yourself. And we want you to be able to disciple others. Our ministry provides the tools that you need in order to discover for yourself God's Word and His truths. We offer in-depth Bible studies for both individuals and for groups. This current study and previous studies are available as podcasts at HebrewNationOnline.com. In the search window, up at the upper right hand, enter the name of this program. There has to be more. And you will find all of our podcasts for both this study and previous studies. We want you to be able to say that you have glorified God on earth, because that is what God has intended for you. So, what I want you to do is to take you to chapter 8 of Psalms. And we're going to go from Psalms 8, and we're going to look at those verses that are going to help us to understand what God has in mind for you and I, and how He can straighten out the mess that we got ourselves into. So, Psalms chapter 8, verse 1. Lord our God, how majestic is your name on all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. So it is a psalm that opens up looking at God and to looking at His majesty, at looking at who He really is. And you know, I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but this entire psalm is about His majesty and His glory. Have you ever taken a walk outside and looked up at the sun or at the moon and sky and stars? Sometimes I just sit outside on our patio and just bask in the beauty of His creation. We have a waterfall and a pond in our backyard, and we have a bevy of wild birds that fly in and out. We put up feeders for finches and for wild birds and for hummingbirds. I love to listen to the sound of the running water and watch the birds that fly in and out of our yard. Sometimes as I'm sitting there, I think, God, oh God, thank you for the beauty of your creation. Thank you that you have given me this quiet spot, this spot out of time, this place that refreshes my very soul. Thank you for letting me know you. You are so majestic. And I look up to the sky, to the sun, the moon, and the stars, and I know that up there to the north, that's home. That's where my Father is. Again, in Psalms 8, verse 4, he tells us, "What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" What is the author telling us? He's saying, I'm out here, and I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at the heavens, and I'm looking at the stars and the moon and the majesty of who you are. You're the creator. What is man? What is man that you take thought of man? Now listen, this is how important you are. In all the universe, there's nothing more important to God than man, than people, than you. The author goes on to say, yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You have made man in your image, a little lower than God. And then this is what he goes on again to say, you make him rule over the works of your hands. Now remember, we saw in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, that God created man in his image. Male and female, he created them. And then he wanted them to rule over the beasts of the field and over all his creation, because man was his vice regent down here on earth over what he had created. Man was standing there in his image. And for a while, he says, that you made him a little lower than God. Now, let's go back to Psalms 8, verse 5. And you crown him with glory and majesty. Who is the him the author is referring to? You and I are the hymns. You, God, crowned him. You crowned us with glory and majesty. You made him to rule over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet. You have made him top dog in your creation. Everything else is under man's feet. Verses 7 to 9 tells us, all sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That is what God did for man. This was his intention for man when he created man in his own image. What happens? Eve listened to the serpent. She takes the forbidden fruit, she eats it, she gives it to Adam, Adam eats it, and then remember the passage that we read from Romans 5. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Man was created to rule over everything, but something happened. Satan came into the scene and things changed. Satan's intention toward mankind, towards God's creation, is described by Yeshua in John 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. What happened? Now Satan, HaSatan, because he is a murderer, because he's a liar, and because he's the father of lies, he comes in, and he, because of man's sin, and we are going to talk about this in our next program, but he, because of man's sin, now has dominion over man. Why? Well, Romans 3:32 tells us that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Man in his sin. Now, here's where the glory of God, the true estimate of God and man, falls short. That's why you and I have problems. That's why sometimes we feel absolutely miserable, like a failure in life, like a failure as a human being. We're not perfect. We're not the perfect mother. We're not the perfect father. We're not the perfect wife or the perfect husband. We aren't the perfect friend or the perfect employee. Why? Because we are in a battle. But I've got good news for you, really good news. There is a way out of this situation. There is a way to win the battle. And do you know what? We're going to see this in our next time together. Don't you dare miss it. It's really good news.
Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, That's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.